I recall that the story of Gideon was a popular one in Sunday school when I was growing up. You may remember that as well. It seems to have popped up pretty regularly because it's exciting. And for all of those 6 and 7 year old boys and the 8 and 9 year old boys and maybe some girls too, the story of a great victory in a very strange way was quite appealing. Well, Gideon's heard, as we read the last time, the dream that the Midianite soldier had had, and he and his servant return praising the Lord to the camp. And it's there that he prepares his little army, remember it's been pared down to 300 men, to attack the enemy immediately. He isn't even going to wait another day. They are encamped close at hand. It's nighttime. The enemy is settled down and asleep. And the victory is accomplished in a rather unique way that clearly indicates that it comes from God. The plan actually seems quite ingenious when you think about it. He divides his 300 men into three groups, 100 each, I suppose. He gives to each of them a jug in which is a flaming torch. Now, somebody has handled logistics here up to this point. I don't know where the jugs and the torches came from. We're not sure either. It doesn't tell us, and there's ram's horns. They have to understand that in a regular army, not everybody carried a ram's horn or a horn of some sort that would indicate a division or a larger group of men. So 300 horns sounding together and the shouting as well as being roused out of a deep sleep terrified the armies of Midian. Notice that these 300 men are primarily horn blowers. They're not rushing down to slay the enemy by any means. They break the jars open. The torches are suddenly flaming there or surrounding the army of Midian. The horns are blasted, and they think that tens of thousands of Israelites have come to kill them. But every man stood in his place, it says. The Midianites panic. And they began in the darkness, I suppose, in confusion to kill one another. But God's doing is clearly seen. The 300 don't attack. They simply pursue when the enemy runs. And the word goes out to the Israelites who had already been sent home, you know, the ones who were afraid and the ones who drank the water in a different manner. They're all gathered again, too. Someone calls to them. And again, I think logistics are seen here below the between the lines. There were no cell phones back then, by the way, for those of you who think they've always existed. And they begin to pursue the Midianites as well. And Gideon sends word to the tribe of Ephraim. They are encamped or live over on the borders of the Jordan River, and he wants them to intercept the fleeing enemy at all the crossings. God is at work in strange ways to accomplish his purpose. God uses pottery jugs and torches, ram's horns, and 300 men to rout an army. Hear the word of the Lord. As soon as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped. And he returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has given the host of Midian into your hand." And he divided the 300 men into three companies and put trumpets in their hands, into the hands of all of them, and empty jars with torches inside the jars. And he said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then blow the trumpets also on every side of all the camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, when they had just set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the jars that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the jars. They held in their left hands the torches and in their right hands the trumpets to blow, and they cried out, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Every man stood in his place around the camp, and all the army ran. They cried out and fled. When they blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his comrade, and against all the army. And the army fled as far as Bethshittah and towards Zarephath, as far as the border of Abel-Meholah. I even practiced that one. By Tabith. And the men of Israel were called out from Naphtali and from Asher and from all Manasseh, and they pursued after Midian. Gideon sent messengers throughout all the hill country of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites and capture the waters against them as far as Bethbara, and also the Jordan." So all the men of Ephraim were called out, and they captured the waters as far as Bethbara, and also the Jordan. And they captured the two princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb. Then they pursued Midian, and they brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon across the Jordan. Such was the victory that even the places where the kings were slaughtered began to bear their name. This is the place where we got Oreb, and over there is the place we got Zeb. To mark for God's people and generations to come God's power and God's victory using the weakest of men. And so we can rejoice in that even today, that we too, weak as we may be, are useful to the Savior.